Friends, our scripture today is from the last few verses of the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And in the introduction of the passages week to week, we often say something like, listen to these words. And I do want you to listen, but I would encourage you today to think more along the lines of receiving these words. Let these words come to you as a promise, as an invitation, almost as a breath. Jesus says this, come to me, all who are weary, burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, as we hear these words, may we encounter the word. Transform our eyes and ears that we might do more than just understand, but that we might experience. That we might be wrapped in your arms, that those things that burden us might fall away, that we might carry a new yoke. That we might be those who not only follow in the way of Christ, but carry Christ in what we do and say. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
I don't know how many of you this will apply to, but quick show of hands, over the past 12 months or so, how many of you have felt at some point stressed? All right, a couple, right? We've all been there. And typically when we're stressed, we're not at our best. We're short with people. We're edgy. We're agitated. And that's the short-term effects. What about the long-term effects? Not surprisingly, psychologists tell us that the longer we're stressed, the longer the effects last. The military has learned this lesson. You can't just send people home and expect them to return to normal. You can't come back from a deployment or a war on 1 week and the next week just go to home and family like nothing changed. Those experiences stick with us. We carry them. And it may be hard to tell for sure, but it seems like it's happening in our society. It seems like it's in our culture. For a long time, we lived under this promise of going back to normal, but we didn't take into account that we might change during the process, that things might change while we waited for normal. We're learning that normal isn't exactly what normal was. There are friends and family members who 2 years ago were fine and now aren't talking to one another. There are people in circles who don't know how to deal with one another, who don't trust one another. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of unhappiness and disagreement, even accusation. Social media, if you pay any attention, is still day after day being weaponized. I don't know about you. I never thought I'd say this. I miss the days when people showed me pictures of their food or their dog or their cat. We have been stewing in it for a couple of years. And even if it's not conscious, even if I don't know I'm carrying it, that has an effect. Our world is high strung right now in a way that feels different. It's a lot of negativity, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fatigue, and it's exhausting for everyone.
So one of the privileges of getting to work with youth is I get to learn a little bit about where we live in a way that I don't get to experience otherwise. And so we were having a youth event last Sunday. We're sitting around the table, sort of catching up after the summer, right? What did you do this summer? And it's not going to surprise you to know, our high school youth largely serve in the tourist industry here in the Lakes area, whether that be food, some work for some of the boat marina type things, but largely that's where they find their employment. So we're catching up. Half of them worked in the food industry. So I turned to that half and I said, well, tell me what that was like this summer. And it was all like they went into PTSD shock. Because it was hard. And so I asked them, well, tell me about it. And they all told stories about how it was stressful to go to work and all of these things that you would already know the reasons why. And so wanting to sort of live into that a little bit, I asked them. I said, well, okay, so on a given night, how often would you say someone expresses displeasure? And they looked at me like that was a ridiculous question. So I went all the way. I said, how often on a given night, how often would you say in 1 week someone yells at you in your job? And I wanted to sort of soften that. So I said, you know, like what? Once a month, once a week? And they literally laughed. They literally laughed and said, are you kidding? That happens every single night. One student launched into a story. She's a hostess at a local restaurant. Said, you know, some of those things make sense. The food wasn't what we ordered, or it didn't come out exactly like we want. But she recounted one story that just sort of lodged in her brain. She took a family to a table, completely clean and ready to be sat in, and they turned at her and red-faced yelled in her face. It turned out one of the chairs hadn't been pushed in properly. Now, I submit to you that when you are yelling at a high school student about a chair that wasn't pushed in per your specification, that it may not have been the chair that got you there. There may be something much deeper, a thing that you've been carrying, maybe even growing over time. And if we think that this doesn't affect us, we maybe haven't looked close enough. Because maybe that wasn't you yelling at the high school student, but all of us have lost our patience. We've lost our patience with those people who are merely trying to serve us. We've lost our patience with our family and with our loved ones. But we live in a moment where things, which in other times might have just been annoyances, seem to carry a kind of weight that burdens us, that carries us down. We live in a time that seems to have a hyper-vigilant kind of moralism. We seem to live in a moment where that's paired with a crazy kind of self-centeredness. In a previous time, it might have just been an annoyance. What's with the chair? But today, that might be interpreted as a personal insult, a slight. Or today, that might be a sign, an image that the society that we live in is indeed going down the drain. Or it might just be a chair. We all live in a moment in which things have meaning that they may not necessarily mean, and yet it is affecting every one of our lives. You don't have to even get to page 2 of the newspaper to find the news article about the school board meeting where the police get called, the city council meeting where people yell over each other and they have to adjourn, the social media where literally every single post is an expression of distrust or anger or frustration. Friends, this kind of culture that we live in is difficult and heavy. And this isn't a word-lashing kind of sermon. It's not Christians, we need to do better. It's a reflection of grace and peace to say, first we must name the weight. This is heavy. And whether we find ourselves expressing it in good ways or difficult ways, it is exhausting to bear this weight day in and day out. We as Christians cannot live into our call to love our neighbor if we're too tired to wake up and simply breathe in the grace of Christ. We live in a moment of great weight, but we must admit that weight before we can walk into this new way of Christ.
So we looked for a word to speak to this thing that we think we see, that we think we feel. And to be honest, it didn't take long to get there. The passage selection this week was essentially a no-brainer. It's Matthew 11. It's the only place that these words are recorded. I will give you rest for your souls. And the word rest here doesn't simply mean a break. It doesn't simply mean a nap. It's a word that literally means the rest after a task is completed or after a journey is finished. It's to be done. It is to be satisfied. It is to be finished. It is that moment when the pack comes off and the shoulders are relieved and you set down the burden and you rest. That's the word Jesus uses here. It's one of the great promises of Scripture. Come to me when you're tired, when you've had enough, when you're not sure you can take it anymore, and I will give you rest for your soul. This passage speaks almost physically to tired people. Because it's one thing to be tired in body. It is another thing completely to be worn out in spirit.
I've always been struck by this passage because for me, it's a complete reversal of expectation. I don't know if it is for you, but when Jesus says that my weight is easy, and he says to take your yoke and to let it go, at least what I would think Jesus would say would be, take your yoke and put it down. Get rid of the weight. That seems to make sense. That's not what Jesus says. He says, take my yoke. It's an exchange. And what's striking is, as Christians, we're not called to let go of any weight. Right? We're not called to sort of live a life that doesn't have any responsibility or struggle. No, being Christian means that struggle being transformed with a purpose. That fundamentally we discover in Jesus Christ a yoke that is specifically for us. I want you to imagine for a second, what do we use yokes for, right? They would be put on an animal so that that animal would move a cart or would serve a purpose. Well, in the day before mass manufacturing, how would that yoke be made? By hand. It was made and tailored for the creature that would bear it. Imagine what that might mean. Jesus' yoke is unique to him. You and I are called to bear his yoke. And what does he call us to? Love your neighbor as yourself. He calls us to move beyond ourselves, to take up a new purpose. So where we feel the heavy burden of the world, we're merely to bear in us the life and the burden of Christ. And this is a beautiful gift.
I have been trying to stay on the bike a little bit into the fall, and it's gotten difficult with football in the afternoons and losing light, etc. The window now is early morning. So earlier this week, I was out, it was a morning, I can't remember if it was Monday or Tuesday, but it wasn't real warm, and I had an interesting, just did one of the local routes around Spirit Lake, and as you know, we don't have mountains here, we have some hills, and it was a very interesting experience. I could tell the temperature difference as I went up or down. And I have a little gadget on the bicycle that gives me all kinds of information. I don't know what it's connected to. But I got home and I looked through it and it told me that the low temperature for that ride had been 42 and the high temperature had been 63. And that was simply the difference of being in a low place and a high place. But more than that, what was interesting is it was foggy that morning. And from the top of a hill, I could see the fog. I could see the whole area. I could see for miles. But when I went down the hill, not only did it get colder, it got wetter, and my visibility went away. At one point, I would say I could see 60 to 70 feet in front of me. And I reflected that day how different the situation can be in the same place by just going about 50 feet uphill. It's not as big a change as we think. It takes a little work to get there. But Jesus invites us to be above it, to be in 63 degrees with miles of visibility, instead of being down where it's cold and nobody can see, where we're blinded. It is a remarkable call that Jesus gives us, quite literally inviting us to change our outlook on ourselves, on others, and the world.
Make no mistake, it makes a difference. Go back with me to that high school table. We're sitting around the table. We just heard the story about the table and the chairs. And another student said, yeah, but let me tell you one story. Said we were serving meals. It was busy. It was crazy. Food was late. And I remember like it was yesterday, the man came up to the counter. He ordered his food and he said, but wait, I know you guys are busy. I know this is a crazy time. I want you to know I'm not starving. When the food comes, we're going to be thrilled. Take your time. This so stuck out to the staff that day, they delivered their food with a gift card to say thank you. It's amazing. In the course of a summer, hundreds, maybe thousands of customers that this student helped serve, one came to mind. The person who had stood above it, who realized that the speed to which their food got to them was less important than the way that they treated their neighbor. That made a difference. I think there's two things that I learned from that story. One is, that can be you. That can be me. We can choose to be that person who shows the love of Christ in what we do, no matter what weight we feel we bear. We can take his yoke. He's offered it to us. And the second is, if we choose that, it will make a difference. It will be remembered, because we live in a time where that is exceptional. And that is what we do when we reach a different perspective, is we show others the love of Christ they might not see otherwise.
Friends, maybe you know you need it. Maybe you're not sure, maybe you don't know. But we are all invited to the rest, to the yoke of Jesus Christ. A way through and a way out of our soul weariness. A way out of our tiredness, our anxiety, our fear. In a world of hair trigger reactions and anxiety, we are called to something deeper, something better, a better way of living, a better way of being, rest for our souls, to set down our own heavy burdens, some of them self-imposed, and take on the light yoke of Jesus. And to find in following him renewal, recovery, and rest. The kind that matters not only to us, but to those around us. By the grace and power of Jesus Christ, may it be true in you, may it be true in us, and may it be seen by a world desperately in need of it. Amen.